Join me in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. A short passage that I pray the Lord will lead us into today and show us and teach us what we need. We must hear from Him. Colossians chapter 4, I'll begin reading at verse 2 and then, as I said, a short passage through verse 6. Hear these words. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Our Lord's words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to Paul and addressed to the church in Colossae. I draw your attention to verse 3. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door. I'd like for you to imagine for just a moment that you are standing at the end of a long hallway. And down that hallway are, of course, many doors. Now, this hallway could be in your home. This hallway could be in your school or university. This hallway could even be in your workplace. But this hallway stretches out before you, and you begin moving, walking down that hallway. And you notice all of the doors in the hallway are closed. All the doors are closed. But as you walk by each door, you can hear the voices of someone inside the room behind the door. And you approach one of these doors, and it's your intent to go in. You hear the voice, you recognize the voice, and so you want to go in and speak. Now, there's one of two ways you can go in that door. You can take a couple of steps back, lower your shoulder, and go through that door, barging in, probably upsetting the one that's inside the room and probably not ready to hear whatever it is you may want to share with them. Or there's another way, might call a bit more civilized, that we approach the door and we knock. And we knock again. And someone comes to the door. And they open that door, but only just a bit. Because they're not sure who's outside. You haven't spoken. You heard them, but they didn't know you. They open the door, but they open the door only a small amount. And for you to enter into this room, the next thing that happens is critical to whether or not you can go in. They see you, and they may recognize you right away, or they may recognize you somewhat. But it is the next words that you use, or the actions that you show, that determine whether or not you're going to enter that door. The past 5, 6, 7 weeks, we've been talking about outreach. We've been talking about evangelism. We've been talking about sharing stories. We've been talking about waving faith flags. We've been talking about being a witness rather than doing. All of those things have been moving us toward that moment of encounter That moment in time when we get to the point of actually getting down to some serious business of explaining, of conversing, of talking about your faith, about Christ. So all of this time, I have been, hopefully, have been leading you to the point to where you are now standing at that door. And that door is cracked open. But as I've said, the next thing you say, the next action you perform, is the critical point of whether or not you will enter that door. Paul says, pray. Pray that a door might be opened. Pray that a door might be opened. He's encouraging the people that know him from the church in Colossae to pray for him that a door might be opened. You standing at that door should have the same mindset, praying that that door might be opened. I heard someone say, I'm sure they were famous and popular, I don't remember their names. You may recognize this and know them. But they said in our ministries, in our sharing, that we should always take the people to God before we ever take God to the people. And what he meant by that is that we take the people to God in prayer before we ever begin to share anything of God with the people. Well, that makes perfectly good sense. So here you are, standing at that door, hoping that door will open further so you can go in. But a part of whether or not you will enter that door may have to do with what you've done before you've gotten to that door. Have you taken those people with which you want to share the gospel with, have you taken them to the Lord in prayer and prayed for that very opportunity? Paul says, pray. Pray. Pray that a door might be opened. Now, what is it that Paul wishes to share with them once that door is open? If you'll read on in the text, he says, we pray that we may proclaim the mystery. Proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Now, I need to stop here just a moment and let you understand fully the context of where Paul is sitting and speaking from. Paul's in prison. Is Paul in this letter, in these words, saying, please pray that this prison door would be open so I could leave and be free again to share the gospel? Well, certainly that would have to be something we would have in our minds, or he would have in his mind. But most scholars agree, based on the other writings of Paul, that that is not what he's praying for. He's not praying to be released from prison. He is praying for an opportunity that when he goes before his captors again, that he will have the ability, the strength, the courage, the opportunity to share the gospel with those who are about to kill him. I think that's key to us, or for us. Here Paul is wanting to share the gospel with someone who's about to kill him. Is that the way we think of those who might would want to do us harm? That we pray for them? That we want to share the gospel with them? That's not been my first thought several times. But let's look at what he wanted to share. He wanted to share the mystery of Christ. What is the mystery of Christ? That he is in chains? The reason he is in chains? What is the mystery of Christ he's speaking about? It is the gospel. It is the good news. If you look at Corinthians, Paul writes out what he was wanting to share. That Jesus Christ came, my sins were forgiven. He died on that cross, the third day he arose, and I am the one to go out and share that good news with Jesus, with the people, with the Gentiles more particularly. But I have to warn you, that in our conversations with the people, with our conversations, we are standing at that door. That door is not open yet. And so our first next step is not necessarily sharing the gospel in those frank terms. Because remember, those that you are approaching, they may be ready for that, but they may not. Remember, we are about relationships. And so there's a gap here. We have waved our faith flag. We have got that door cracked. The person has recognized what we are doing. The person has given us somewhat of an access, but that door is not fully open yet. We have got to get that door open. So what should we do? How should we conduct ourselves? What will be that next phrase, that next action that gets that door open? Paul is praying that his captors will come and take him again so that he might be able to share the gospel. Paul has already done this once with them. That's why he's there. So in his context, he's at that point. But for us, we have to discern at what stage we're in to share that message. Remember the insert I gave you? Actually, I gave you one last week and forgot to refer to it. The little step decisions of faith, that ladder-looking thing, that's where we are. Let me ask you to refer to your insert, to your bulletin, and you should find a blue piece of paper. I want to talk just a minute briefly about that segment of time. You have waved your faith flag. You have told your story. You have shown them a relationship. They have cracked the door and they're ready to listen to you. They've not opened it completely yet. They're not ready to trust you yet. You're not in the room yet. The door is not fully open. So what are we going to do in very practical terms to get that door open further? In part of my reading, I ran across this acronym, BATHE. And I just titled it BATHE in a Conversation. This is from medical practice. Barbara, you may have seen something very similar to this. Those of you, Larry, some of you in medical, in the medical field, you may have seen this because this actually comes from medical training. Some of the physicians are trained in this way to inquire about the person who is seated before them and trying to discover what's wrong with them. This is from the medical profession, but it works for us as well. First of all, background. Start by asking questions. What's been going on in your life? Could you give me some background or tell me about this? You know, there's something that has engaged the conversation. There's something that's the centerpiece. And so you just simply start asking some background questions. Now, I hope you don't mind me getting this technical about the application of sharing your faith. I was a trainer in Duke Power for a long time. And sometimes those guys, you got to take them by the hand and say, okay, you do this next, and this next. I don't mean to hurt your intelligence, but I just want to get this simple if we can. Background, effect. Instead of quickly giving advice or Bible verse, ask, how is this affecting you? Remember, you're wanting to get to the point where they are opening up to you and they begin trusting you. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you right away, this is where we fail. We get the background, we get the identification of the problem, and we're ready to solve. Aren't we, guys? We're ready to fix it. I've had some conversations with you guys. I know. Everybody shake your head this way. And your wives know it, too. Instead of the acrostic being BATHE, ours for the guys would be BAD. Because we'll do the background and we'll do the effect, but then the third one would be drop it. You know, because we want to fix it and you're turned off. And so anyway. But the effect, how is this affecting you? And then troubling, what is troubling you most about this? Handling it, how are you handling it? Our goal is E. Our goal is E. We want to get to the point, and I hope this is real, that the person understands that we are empathetic, that we care, that we are compassionate, that we understand the dilemma you're in, and I'm not here necessarily to fix it, but I am here to help you along that way. So maybe you can use this as a tool to help you through the conversations. And when you get through those conversations and you get to that point where that person trusts you, you get to that point where that person says, "Terry, I'm going to open the door and let you come in because I see that you're genuine. I see that you're real, and I see that you're after my good, not to show me what you know or what you might do." And see, that's what we're after. Because isn't that the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't that the mystery that Paul wants to share, that Jesus Christ came for those who are sick, came for those who are broken, came for those who cannot save themselves? He understood entirely. We are His instrument to deliver that. Maybe you can use this as a tool. What else did Paul say to include in his prayer? Or for you to include in your prayer as you may pray for those who are sharing, as you pray for your encounters and your sharing? He says, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." There will come a point in time in your conversations where you get to share the gospel. Are you prepared? Can you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone in a couple of minutes? You personally should be able to answer that yes, I hope. Can you share the gospel? If not, then those of you who are on the health implementation team, some of you, that may be something we need to do. Just help us understand how to share the gospel. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. We have to be wise. I could have gone to that door. I could have put my shoulder down. And a guy as big as I am, I would have gone through that door. But would that have accomplished what I was set out to do? Would that have accomplished the sharing of the gospel with that person? Would that have shown empathy, caring, concern for that person? Nope. It would have just shown that I am very bullheaded and I'm coming in that door. And it would serve nothing. Our evangelistic methods need to remember that. It says, "Let your conversation be always full of grace." Always be full of grace. You know, it's not always necessary to tell someone right away that they're a sinner. It's not always necessary to walk up to someone and say, "Do you know you're going to hell?" That may be a truthful statement. But if my ambition is to gain a relationship with Bill, I'm not going to walk up and slap him in the face and say, "Do you still like me?" No. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. What do you think he's referring to there? Seasoned with salt. You think Paul had heard the Beatitudes? He'd heard similar teaching. So that you may know how to answer everyone that you come in contact with. The sermon today for you, I pray, is a very practical, hands-on approach, a very hands-on kind of thing, where we work, where we strive, where our prayer life is concerned with approaching that door, but then if that door opens, we walk through it. And we are not afraid to walk through it. It begins in prayer. It begins with prayer. Are you presently praying for someone that you might share the gospel with? Are you praying for someone that you might have a relationship with that in due time and in due process you share that mystery of Christ? It starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. And then we use these other things as tools. And in our wisdom, we bring them to bear when needed. Paul says, please pray for me. Please pray for me that the door might be opened. And then when that door opens, that I may proclaim the gospel clearly, that I will do it with great wisdom. I will do it in such a way that the person understands that I'm really concerned about them, that there's grace. But then there's the saltiness. When you add something, you add salt to something, there's a change. It makes a difference. Seasoned with salt. So we must begin our evangelistic times, our times of sharing, with prayer. Let us pray. Father, help us. We need your help desperately. We want to tell the people how much we love you. We want to tell the people about how much you've done for us. We want to tell them about your grace and your love. But Father, it's hard. People don't want to hear it. We don't know the right words to say. But I pray, Lord, that every person in this room would begin those opportunities with prayer. And then when that door swings open and you answer that prayer, that you will give the individual, every one of us, the courage, the desire to walk through that door and show empathy and concern and compassion for that one we are talking with. Help us in these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.